Chapter 7. We waited. It did suck. Right at the 2-hour and 3-minute mark, we shot a communications maser toward the moon, advising the landing party about the situation, the rough timelines for us to recover them, and ordering them not risk sending a reply. Then we waited some more. A lot more. After my duty shift on the bridge was over, I surrendered the chair to Sergeant Adams. Part of me wanted to stay in the chair for the full 26 hours, to not miss a second while my crew stretched out their dwindling oxygen supply. The crew I had ordered to the surface and put in danger, the crew I was responsible for. Needing something to do, I went to the gym and ran on a treadmill, headphones on, and not in a mood for a chit-chat. Other people in the gym left me alone. Following an hour of sweating on the treadmill, I took a shower, got a snack from the galley, and went to my office. Skippy pinged me through my Z-phone. That meant he wanted to talk privately. Putting in my Z-phone earpiece, I said, "Hey, Skippy, more bad news?" "Since news is by definition new information, there is no news. The situation has not changed." From the display on my tablet, I knew that already. It still felt good to have Skippy verify what I was seeing. "All right, what's up?" "This is a conversation perhaps best conducted in private, Joe." "Ah, got it." I pinged the CIC crew to let them know I was going to my cabin. Once there, I closed the door behind me and sat down on the bed. The crew knew not to disturb me in my cabin without calling me first. "What is it?" "Joe, I know this will not be a pleasant conversation. Let me guess. You're going to tell me that I need to consider abandoning Chang's team in order to continue the mission?" "Yes." His voice carried genuine surprise. "Sacrifice a few soldiers to preserve most of the crew and the ship." "Uh-huh," he said slowly. "I'm kind of at a loss for words here, Joe. I was prepared for a long argument, and now I got nothing." "Don't be an ass, Skippy. You think I haven't considered that I may have to do that? Sit here silently while the clock runs out on their oxygen supply and they choke to death? I have considered that. I'm the commander. That means I have to put the mission first. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. I hate it. I'm the commander. It's my job. You think about this. We're out here for you. That is your mission. We're risking our lives for you."
"Whoa. That's BS. You're putting all the burden on me, and you're wrong. Yeah, I need you not to risk the ship. You humans need to make sure other species do not discover that you are roaming around the galaxy."
Damn, I had actually hurt his feelings. "That came out kind of harsh, Skippy. I didn't mean it that way. You saved our planet, and we have a deal, and I'm going to keep that deal, even if it costs lives. I want you to understand that."
"I do understand it, Joe."
"Good. I have thought about this a lot, Skippy. If we don't have a realistic chance to recover the landing party without undue risks to the ship, then I am simply going to have to face the facts. It's plain and simple, Skippy. I can't afford to get emotional about command decisions. So yes, I have already decided we will abandon Chang's team if we have to. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Joe, occasionally I am confronted with the fact that you are not only the good-natured dope who I joke around with. I am reminded that you shot down 2 whales in cold blood, killing almost 1,000 sentient beings, and that under your command we jumped 14 Kristang starships inside a planet, killing their entire crews. That doesn't include the 78th Aranin of their ship's original crew, or the Kristang who died when you nuked that asteroid."
"Your point is what?"
"Occasionally I was reminded that Skippy was an AI built by civilization so far advanced they would consider humans to be bugs at best. He acted friendly to us, and we needed him to continue to be friendly. My most important job was not commanding the ship, not leading the crew, not making critical decisions. The most important thing I did aboard the Dutchman was making sure Skippy enjoyed having us around. If Skippy ever got bored with insulting me and busting my balls, we would be in trouble. Odd as it is to think about it, my relationship with that arrogant little shithead was humanity's greatest asset."
"My point, I guess, is that I came into this discussion assuming I needed to force you to consider an agonizing decision, and you had already done that. I underestimated you."
"Thank you, Skippy.
Of course, most of the time, when I think I'm underestimating you, it turns out I estimated way too high because you're such a doofus. And thanks for reminding me what an asshole you really are. Oh, no problem, Joe. Anytime. Around 7 hours in, I was again in my office doing busy work that kept me from hovering around the bridge and distracting the duty crew. Skippy interrupted my thoughts with more bad news.
Joe, I just learned a possibly interesting tidbit about this task force. The commander is the third son of a high-tier clan leader. He took command of the task force only recently, and the fleet naturally gave him cast-offs from other task forces. As such, he jumped his task force in here for training exercises to whip his new ships into shape. He is very concerned that his task force will be embarrassed during a major clan-wide fleet war game that is scheduled for next month. With much of the next month taken up in travel time, this is his best opportunity for training.
Damn it, I cursed. That means he's going to push the time limit, stay here running exercises right to the deadline. That's what I said because that's what I would do if I was suddenly in command of a second-hand task force.
My thoughts exactly. There are other Kristang ships out at the edge of this star system. He took his task force here so they can train away from watching eyes. From what I have seen, the commander's fears about the ships he was given are entirely justified. These ships are poorly maintained, their crew are inexperienced, and morale is terrible. Thus far, the ships maneuver clumsily, respond slowly to orders, and their navigators do not seem to understand left from right. It does not help that this task force commander is, even for a Kristang, a major hard-ass. It almost makes me feel sympathetic for the crews under his command.
Yeah, I said with a frown. Almost. At the 18-hour, 32-minute mark, I was once more in my office when Skippy called. Sleep, although a good idea, had been elusive. I'd laid down on my bed and tried to get some rest for an hour, until I gave up and realized there was no way I could peacefully slumber while the landing party, while my people, were running out of oxygen. So I'd gone to my office to study flight training manuals.
Joe, one of those cruisers just jumped into low orbit of that moon on the opposite side from the Elder Base. We didn't have any warning. It was suddenly there. 4 dropships are proceeding down to the surface.
I fairly jumped around the desk and into the corridor.
Did you inform the bridge?
Yes, of course I did, Joe.
Major Sims is the current duty officer.
From my office to the bridge was less than 20 seconds. That's why I'd selected a tiny closet as my office. Close enough so I could get there quickly, far enough away and around a corner so the bridge and CIC crews didn't feel I was hovering over their shoulders every minute. When I got there, Sims was already sliding out of the command chair for me.
All we know is a cruiser jumped in with no warning and launched 4 dropships straight down. On their current course and speed, we estimate they will arrive at the Elder Base in 27 minutes.
27 minutes. Because the Dutchman could jump there within seconds, we didn't need to act immediately. We could evaluate the situation and consider our options. I was about to order Captain Desai to the bridge. I wanted our most experienced pilot at the controls if we had to go into combat. Then I remembered Desai wasn't aboard the ship. She was in a dropship in stealth on that moon. This situation was bad. All bad.
Is there any sign that the Kristang know about the landing party? I asked the obvious question. Why else would that cruiser have jumped into orbit there and launched 4 dropships?
No, Skippy answered. There were no such communications before that cruiser jumped, and the cruiser and its 4 dropships are maintaining communications silence. It is, however, impossible for us to assure that we can monitor every single transmission between those ships. If they are using a tight beam maser to communicate between ships, the Dutchman's sensors have less than a 50% chance to intercept the message from here.
I'm going to assume they know. Somehow they know about the landing party. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Our options are what? We jump in, launch missiles at that cruiser, and hit those dropships with a maser cannon. I pondered the main display, playing with the controls on the arm of the command chair. I'd gotten pretty good at manipulating the display. From our position, we had line of sight to the moon. The orbits of the moon and the Dutchman meant the moon was going behind the planet within 40 minutes. The cruiser was a dot on the display. It was visible, but was headed behind the moon in less than 5 minutes. Because we weren't using the Dutchman's sensor field, we had to rely on passive sensors to detect the enemy ships. Most importantly, Four of the dots on the display were the Kristang dropships. I zoomed in the view, and it revealed two large troop transports and two gunships. The dropships had pulled out of their steep dive from orbit and were flying low, hugging the airless terrain. An icon on the display indicated that the ship's sensors were estimating the position of the dropships. At such distance, and with our sensors dealing with interference from the planet's magnetic field, detecting the dropships was intermittent.
Oh, hey, how close to the moon's surface can we jump in? We need to shrink the distance Desai needs to get back aboard. Star carriers aren't designed to operate in a gravity well. That moon's gravity can't be a problem, right? Can we?
Colonel Joe, Skippy interrupted me. We have another option that you should strongly consider. Doing nothing for now, and waiting. I don't think this is a real assault against the landing party. If they knew humans are down there, their other ships would be deployed to support the assault force. They are not at the moment. The other ships are operating independently.
You think this is an exercise also?
That surprised me. It also didn't make much sense. The planet had a dozen moons. Having a Kristang cruiser jump into orbit of the one moon where we had a landing party stranded was too much of a coincidence.
Yes, I believe it is another exercise. Based on limited data, yes, Skippy said confidently. This appears to be one Kristang ship practicing an assault drop.
How sure are you about that, Skippy?
I needed him to be very confident. If the Kristang dropships landed at the Elder site and their soldiers went inside, it would not matter whether their original purpose was an exercise or an assault. They were likely to find our landing party, and then there would certainly be a fight for real.
Fairly. Perhaps that did not give the impression I intended to convey. To be more accurate, there is a 92% probability that this is an exercise and that the Kristang do not know anything about the presence of our landing party. I can show you, if you like, how a Kristang task force would deploy to support an assault drop. This task force is not positioned to assist that one cruiser. Also, those four dropships have not engaged stealth. That is also unusual. The lack of stealth is a strong indicator that this is not a true combat situation for the Kristang. If their intention is to attack our landing party, the tactics of that task force are truly incompetent.
92% is good, Skippy, except it only tells me part of what I need to know. If part of the exercise includes those dropships landing at the Elder Site and Kristang soldiers going into the Elder Site, we will need to intervene.
Oh, Skippy sounded disappointed.
I hadn't considered that. We could be forced into combat, even if that is not currently the intention of the Kristang.
Also, those other ships are several light minutes away. Our information on their positions and what they are doing is out of date by that much, I pointed out.
That was a problem with our fancy displays. They made you unconsciously assume the data was all in real time, and it wasn't. In space combat, almost everything had a time lag of at least several seconds. When I was in Army basic training, we had to use old-fashioned paper maps in addition to computer displays, tablets, and GPS equipment. Paper maps made you realize the whole time that a marker showing us an enemy's position was only as good as how old that data was. We could use some of that mindset out here now.
True, and it is mildly impressive that a monkey like you is capable of such thinking, Skippy said grudgingly.
Well then, in that case, I will concede that this may turn into a fight if those dropships arrive at the Elder Base. Until such time, I believe our best course of action is to wait to determine what the Kristang are doing.
Waiting won't limit our options? I asked with a frown.
That ship is going behind the moon, and our maser cannons require line of sight to hit the dropships.
Waiting will not substantially decrease our chance of success at rescuing the landing party, Joe, because the odds are very much not at all good for us. Our best chance to recover the landing party, I am trying to tell you, is to wait and hope this is an exercise. There is little downside to delaying action for up to another 20, even 22 minutes. If we are forced to act, delaying will only decrease our chances of success by 0.17%. Overall, our chances of retrieving the landing party in combat against this Kristang force are... you hate math anyway, so I won't quote numbers at you. The odds against us suck, Joe. The landing party is simply too vulnerable down there, and this ship is not capable of providing enough firepower to shield them.
We wait?
Yes, that is my recommendation.
I slumped slightly in the chair.
Waiting is something I'm not good at, Skippy. Joe, if I listed all the things you are not good at, we would be here a very long time. I do agree that waiting is something you particularly suck at. If you were a superhero, you would be no patience man. You'd be the guy who thinks if the instructions say to bake a cake at 300 degrees for 30 minutes, you can instead bake it at 1800 degrees for 5 minutes. You can't? I managed a hint of a smile at that. That would be a solid no, Joe. Remind me to keep you away from the galley. We waited. We waited, and we made plans. We hastily threw together plans to attack the Kristang and recover the landing party. We waited another 5 minutes, then 10. At the 12-minute mark, Skippy announced the 4 dropships had split up into 2 groups of 2, with a gunship and a troop transport in each group. They had split up. Their apparent courses were taking them to approach the Elder base from 2 directions. "It now appears very likely," Skippy said sadly, "that they intend to land and practice a full combat assault on the Elder base. This is very unfortunate. I still believe the Kristang do not know anything about our landing party. The Elder base is merely a convenient place to practice an assault. As you said, that hardly matters now." "It doesn't matter. If we have to fight, I want to do it when we choose, not wait for them to force our hand. I am not letting those dropships get close enough to that Elder site to threaten our people down there. Major Sims, get the Ready Bird warmed up." We had 2 pilots and a dropship prepared to launch on a 2-minute notice. "Skippy, show us our best options again. As none of our options are good, not one of them could be considered best, Joe. But the option you liked best is..." "Wait, I'm intercepting a message from the cruiser." "Yep, I was right. This is an exercise. The captain of the cruiser is bragging about how well the exercise is going, and he is requesting permission for the dropships to engage stealth for the final approach to the Elder site. The task force commander apparently denied use of stealth so far because he didn't trust the dropship pilots not to crash into each other if they can't see each other. It will take several minutes, of course, to receive a reply from the task force." "Let's use that time wisely, then. I don't want those dropships to be stealthed when we have to target them. We're going with option Bravo," I ordered. "Pilot, orient the ship and bring us about. Accelerate to match speed with target. Major Sims, tell the Ready Bird to open the bay doors and prepare to launch." Option Bravo was the least bad of our bad options, in my inexperienced opinion. We were going to accelerate the Dutchman out of the planet's magnetic field to match course and speed with the moon. At the last minute, we would turn the ship so it would be sticking straight up and down in relation to the Elder base. Straight up and down with the engines pointing down, so that when we emerged from jump, the Dutchman would be falling in the moon's gravity well rear end first. Our plan was to launch the Ready Bird as soon as we came out of the jump wormhole and send a signal to Desai. Hopefully, Desai would get our signal and climb up to rendezvous with the Dutchman while our pilots tried to balance our massive, awkward ship on its tail. According to Skippy, our star carrier didn't have enough thrust available to maintain altitude, or it did have enough thrust, but we couldn't use it in a gravity well without snapping the ship's long spine. So, the ship would be falling, tail first, toward the surface of the moon, and Desai would need to precisely match our speed and acceleration and fly her dropship into a landing bay. While she was flying up to us, we would be hitting the 4 Kristang dropships with maser cannons, and the Ready Bird would be flying down to hopefully recover Chang's landing party. There would not be enough time to recover the Ready Bird before the Dutchman had to jump away. We could only fall a certain distance before we had to jump away or crash. When we jumped, the plan called for us to engage the Kristang cruiser with missiles, then jump away again. The Ready Bird would need to recover Chang's landing party, fly some distance away from the Elder site, engage stealth, and wait. Wait for possibly a long time, because even if we got lucky and knocked out that cruiser, the rest of the Kristang task force and their friends now just outside the star system would be buzzing around the moon like angry hornets. It was not a good plan. It was the only plan we could think of in the short time available. It would have to do. I was not leaving the landing party down there. It may sound heartless, but if we couldn't recover the landing party from the Elder structure they'd taken shelter in, I would have to order a missile strike on them to hide the fact that humans were out here. "Whatever happens, Joe, this will be a first in galactic history," Skippy announced. "No one has ever done this type of maneuver with a star carrier." "Something to look forward to, then. No one has done this because this is mind-bogglingly stupid. Hey, Skippy.
Yeah?
Hold my beer. Watch this.
What?
Hold your... Damn it. Whoever put a redneck in command of a starship?
You did.
Oh. He thought about that for a moment. Damn, I guess I did. The time for joking around with Skippy was over. Grimly, I took one last look at the main display and ordered, Pilot, initiate jump countdown. Major Sims, don't wait for a signal from me. Your team is weapons free. Take out those dropships quick. They'll go into stealth mode if we miss with the first shot. There were four enemy dropships racing low and fast, barely above the moon's surface, and the Flying Dutchman had only two rear-facing maser cannons. We had to make every shot count.
Aye, aye, sir, Sims acknowledged.
I saw the pilot press the button to initiate the program jump, and she counted down. Jump in 10, 9. In a few seconds, I was going to take a new, untested crew and a ship never designed to engage in direct combat into desperate combat. Everyone aboard the ship could die, and it would be my fault, entirely my fault. My right hand was shaking so badly that I put it in my lap and squeezed it with my left hand, which was not much better. And I needed to pee again. Waiting for combat to begin, the anticipation of danger was almost worse than combat itself. Once the shooting starts, my mind attains clarity and focus. Before the shooting starts, my mind raced over every horrible possibility of things going sideways. 4, 3,
belay that,
Skippy shouted, and I saw on the display that he'd canceled the jump on his own. Also, he'd cut power to the engines. We were no longer accelerating.
Skippy, what the hell?
Battlecruiser just jumped in near the Elder Site. They are targeting the four dropships with low-power masers. This must be another part of the exercise.
Oh!
Two destroyers just jumped in near the cruiser on the far side of the moon. They are engaged in a mock battle.
Joe, trust me on this. Those four dropships have been declared dead by the task force manager. They have changed course and are climbing for orbit. They are no longer proceeding toward the Elder Site.
Oh, thank God. I let out a long breath and slumped in the chair.
Pilot, bring us back into the magnetic field gently, please. We don't want to be seen.
Wow, Skippy grunted.
What is it? I asked fearfully. Right then, I didn't think I could take any more bad news.
Oh, nothing that affects us directly, Joe.
Man, the mock battle between that cruiser and those two destroyers is not going well for either side. All three ships are shockingly clumsy.
The task force manager is pissed. He is bitching at them in the clear, not bothering to encrypt the transmission. I think he wants the rest of the task force to hear, to embarrass those three ship captains in front of their peers.
Clumsy, huh? You think they're clumsy enough that we could take them in a fight if we had to?
Skippy laughed.
No way, dude. Damn, when I say clumsy, I mean clumsy by the standards of a hateful warrior species like the Krestang, Joe. The Dutchman is a big, long, spindly monstrosity that would handle like a drunken pig, even if I were flying it, and our ship is flown by unskilled monkeys.
No offense to your pilots, but the Theranin designed this ship to be controlled by cyborg implants. Using the manual controls on this backup bridge slows reaction time down by a factor of like 10. Those three Krestang ships would fly circles around us. Our weapons targeting is way too slow for us to have any confidence of hitting a moving target.
Thank you for the vote of confidence in us monkeys, Skippy, I said, putting as much sarcasm into my voice as I could right then. My hands were still shaking, although I no longer needed to pee immediately.
What? That wasn't intended to be a vote of
Oh, I get it. You were being sarcastic. Ha ha, very funny.
Stupid monkeys, he grumbled. Beginning at the 23-hour mark, I relieved the duty officer and took back the command chair. The 24-hour mark came and went, with no sign of the Krestang going anywhere. They were still fully engaged in exercises, although they had now gone back to the basics of ship handling. The task force commander was very unhappy with the lizards under his command. None of the Krestang ships were anywhere near the moon with our trapped landing party, and I was tempted to order Desai to try sneaking away. Skippy strongly advised against it. Shortly after the 25-hour mark, we took a slight risk and shot a tight-beam burst message to Chang and Desai, assuring them we were still here, that we would pick them up as soon as we could. 25 hours, 30 minutes came and went, and the Kristang was still there. 26 hours. The Kristang was still engaged in ship-handling exercises. Anxious, I pulled up the combat options again and reviewed them. None of the options had a decent chance of success. I was staring at the cold, hard fact of abandoning Chang's team in order to preserve the ship and continue the mission. Finally, Skippy spoke. "Uh-oh, Joe. Bad news. I'm intercepting a ship-to-ship transmission. The task force commander is declaring the exercise over and ordering the task force to jump out to rendezvous with the Star Carrier." A glance at the display showed that it was 26 hours, 12 minutes since the Kristang had jumped in. "I don't get it, Skippy. Why is that bad news?" I asked. It sounded like good news to me. "The bad news is that only 4 of the task force ships will be departing. 3 will remain here. The commander is not happy with the performance of 2 of his ships, the destroyers. He has ordered them to remain behind with his battle cruiser for remedial training. The full truth, which I just learned, is that one of the destroyer captains is a younger brother of the task force commander. As is typical with Kristang, the 2 brothers absolutely hate each other. Why this matters to us is the commander intends to keep those destroyers here until he is satisfied with their performance, even though that will mean they miss the original rendezvous with the Star Carrier. The next Star Carrier to pass by this system will not arrive for another 7 days."
7 days?
7 days, he repeated gravely.
2 destroyers and a battle cruiser?
Yes. That battle cruiser is a formidable warship for the Kristang. It is a relatively new design, being less than 30 years old, and contains weapons that could certainly threaten our ship.
"The landing party can't wait 7 days, I said, stating the obvious.
"Correct," Skippy said quietly. "I do not currently have any useful solutions to the problem, Joe."
"I am sorry,"